I want to talk to you today about a supernatural invitation. That God has given us an invitation into the supernatural. I believe the Lord wants to call you out of where you are into a new place today. Matthew 14, verse 28 says, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Here's Peter asking to come out of where he was. He was in the boat. He was in a place he was comfortable. But he saw something that he wanted to go to. He saw something he was drawn to. And he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Come on. That's the invitation. That's the invitation. They saw Jesus. They were in a boat, in a storm, and they saw Jesus coming across the water. He had been in the mountain praying, and he left the mountain, and he came to them in the storm. And these were trained seamen. They understood what it meant to control a boat in bad weather. They were afraid for their lives, so it was a bad storm. And they saw this figure walking across the water, and at first they thought it was a spirit. But then the Bible says when they saw that it was Jesus, when Peter realized that's Jesus out there, he wanted to go to that place. He wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to step out of everything he ever knew into something new and something extraordinary. So he said, Lord, can I come to you? And Jesus' response to that was, come on, come to me, come to this place. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he stepped out of the boat, he stepped into the supernatural, he was walking on water. He was walking on water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out and he said, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the invitation you've given us into the supernatural. We thank you, Lord, you've invited us to come to this place with you. And Lord, I ask today that you minister to our hearts and you challenge us. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit creates in us a hunger to come to a new place with you, to come into the supernatural. Lord, let our hearts experience that invitation from you this morning, that you are inviting us to come out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. So Lord, bless this word today. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want to talk to you about this morning is desperation determines destination. Desperation determines destination. When you get desperate enough to change your situation, when you get desperate enough to do something about the place you're in, you can change your destination. You can change your destination. When you decide, I'm not staying here, amen? I'm not staying here, I'm doing something about it. Amen. I will never forget, as a young man working on a construction crew, and I had left college and I was a little undecided about what I wanted to do with my life, and I had a call on my life that I was kind of running from, and I was trying to figure things out, and I was working on a construction crew. Nothing wrong with working on a construction crew. That's not my point. But on this particular day, I was digging a ditch. And I was down in that ditch, and it was hot, and I had a shovel, and I had dirt and mud all over me. And I was down in that ditch, and the place we were working, a bunch of guys came by with suits on. They drove up in the nice cars, and they come out with suits, and they were inspecting everything. And I was down in that ditch, and I looked up at those guys, and I will never forget this. I said to myself, Lord, I'm coming out of this place. I am coming out of this ditch, and I am coming out of where I'm at, and I'm going to do something that matters. I got desperate enough, you hear me? I got desperate enough that I determined that I'm not digging ditches the rest of my life. Now, some of you may be professional ditch diggers. God bless you. But it wasn't what God called me to do. All right? So, you reach a point where you determine, I'm desperate. I mean business. I'm serious. And that kind of desperation will determine your destination. Peter asked to come out of that boat. Now, that's remarkable to me because that boat is something Peter's familiar with. That's his life. That boat represents everything he's about. He spends every day of his life on a boat fishing to feed his family. He's familiar with it. He's comfortable with it. It's normal. But all of a sudden, Peter saw something that was better than the boat. Peter saw something that intrigued him more than staying in the boat, and he determined, I want out of this. I want that. I want out of where I've been. I want that. And so he asked, could he come? Now, here's the thing. We get real comfortable with tradition. We've all got boats we're comfortable with. All of you have got boats that you could call it your comfort zone. It's the life that you're comfortable with. It's the place that you're comfortable with. It's the people that you're comfortable with, and you've gotten comfortable with it. But sometimes God comes walking by, just like he did this morning. He comes walking by and you can feel his presence, and he's inviting you to something better. He's inviting you to something deeper. He's inviting you into the supernatural. And you have to make up your mind, and I have to make up my mind. Am I going to stay in the boat that I've been all my life, or am I going to take a chance? Am I desperate enough to step out of what I know, to step out of my tradition, to step out of my comfort zone, and to step into the supernatural? You see, we in churches, we're comfortable with announcements. We're comfortable with an offering, somewhat. We tolerate it anyway. We're used to it. We're comfortable with 3 or 4 songs. We're comfortable with a sermon if it's 25 or 30 minutes. Don't want to get too carried away. We're comfortable, but when things start getting different, we're at church and we know, but when suddenly it starts to change and everybody's at the altar and the preacher don't preach and suddenly the order, it's like we can get uncomfortable with that. We have things in our homes we're comfortable with. We're comfortable with situations. But God this morning is saying, there is something more that only Jesus can really satisfy. He's the only one that can scratch that itch you've got. He's the only one. And you go through the motions. You go through the motions, but it's just like, and maybe something starts to happen in church that you're not used to, you're not accustomed to. And you're like, I've heard people say, for example, in our church, they're like, you want to see God move in our church? Just invite somebody to come. Invite a friend or a family member, and I mean the Holy Ghost to show up, and everything will start happening. It never fails. Invite somebody that's never been in a charismatic church before, and they'll blow the lid off that day. No, but you have those times when God's glory just comes in such a measure, and it's like, this is not normal church. Folks, I long for the time when it's never normal church. I long for the day when God completely takes over. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, when Jesus is in the house, boy, things change. When Jesus is in the house, things change. Hallelujah. Jesus came into the temple and those children were singing, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. And they were like, don't get carried away now. Y'all don't let those kids get real excited. And Jesus said, I tell you, even the rocks will cry out and praise me. You leave those kids alone and let them praise. Radical worship has never offended the heart of God. So Peter was desperate enough to go after Jesus. He saw Jesus in the distance and got hungry for him. So Peter had a lot of he had a lot of stuff, but he had a heart for God. And I'm going to tell you that about Simon Peter. He had a heart for God. He loved Jesus, and he had a heart for him. And he went after him. He made a lot of mistakes. But I think that's why Jesus was so drawn to him, because he had a heart for him. He stumbled all over himself at times, but he had a heart for God. And he went after him. He went after him. He was a God chaser. He went after him. Paul was hungry for God. Paul had a consuming hunger for God. He said, I'm constrained. I'm compelled. He said, I preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. It was his life. It was his passion, was to go after Jesus. To go after Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. And Jesus just walked by one day and said, follow me. Jesus walked by one day and looked at him and said, follow me, Matthew. And the Bible says Matthew got up and left everything. Matthew got up from his table and his job and his desk, everything he knew, everything he was comfortable with. He just walked away from it because those eyes looked at him and said, follow me. And he walked away. Bartimaeus was hungry. Bartimaeus had a need. Bartimaeus got out of his comfort zone and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. People said, be quiet. You're making a fool out of yourself. Just shut up. The Bible says he cried that much louder. He didn't care. He saw something and he went after it. The woman at the well, Jesus started talking to her. He asked for a drink of water and she gave him the water. And he said, now, let me tell you about another water. Let me tell you about another water that if you drink of it, he said, you have to come to this well every day to get water. But I know a well that you can draw from and you will never be thirsty again. You'll have ever. She said, Lord, what kind of water is this? What are you talking about? And he said, I'm talking about the water that I give is unlike any other water. He said, you've been searching all your life. You've had 5 husbands. The man you're with now is not your husband. You've searched and searched and searched for happiness, and you've never found it. I want to tell you where you can find it. And suddenly she ran to the village, and she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did, who knew everything about me, who gave me a water that changed my life. This woman was suddenly willing to leave everything. The woman came and washed his feet, bust into the house of Simon. She didn't care what people said. She didn't care what people thought. She just had to get to Jesus. Zacchaeus climbed up a tree, a wealthy tax collector, climbed up a tree and was hanging on a tree limb just to get a glimpse of Jesus. Why? Because he felt that invitation into the supernatural. He left everything he knew, everything, for a touch of the supernatural. The woman with the issue of blood pressing through the crowd. And she said, the Bible says she said in her heart, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she presses through the crowd and reaches out with a feeble hand. She's just about bled to death. The doctors have not been able to help her. The Bible says she spent all of her money, but was worse. And she reached out with a feeble hand and took a hold of his garment. And at that moment, Jesus stopped. The Bible says crowds were thronging around him. And he stopped and said, who touched me? And I love this. Who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, what kind of crazy question is that? What do you mean, who touched you? People are all around you. People are patting you on the back. People are hugging your neck. People are shaking your hand. What do you mean, who touched you? And Jesus kind of looked at him and said, no, somebody in this crowd really touched me. Somebody in this crowd meant business. Somebody in this crowd was desperate. And that's what makes the difference. You can come to church and rub up against Jesus. You can come to church and shake his hand and pat him on the back. You can come up and say, I love you, Lord. You're a good friend. But sometimes when you come to church, you're desperate for a touch and you're like, just get out of the way. I'm coming to the altar and I'm going to touch God because I mean business today. Amen. Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. I felt healing virtue flow out of my body. Woo! Glory to God. That's stepping into the supernatural. That's leaving behind what you know. And desperation opens an invitation. Because God loves nothing more than desperate hearts. I mean, you want to move the heart of God, get radical. Get radical and get after him. Because that touches him. That moves his heart. Like that woman washing his feet. He said, look, this woman shall always be remembered. Greater faith. I've seen anything greater than this. That's when Jesus invites you. That's Jesus looked at Peter and said, come. Come on. Come on. It was an invitation into the supernatural. It was an invitation to come out of everything you know. It was an invitation to come into something new and experience something new. The Syrophoenician woman that asked Jesus to heal her daughter, and she was a Gentile, and the disciples were telling her, get away, get away. And Jesus looked at her, and he said, I haven't come for the dogs. But she looked in his eyes, and I promise you, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson about racism and about hate. And he looked at her and said, because the disciples were saying, this woman shouldn't be here. Jesus was like, yeah, that's right. She shouldn't be here. I haven't come for the dogs. But he gave her a look. His eyes said, come on. Come on. Don't quit on me now. Come on. And then she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Oh, glory. Even this woman was willing to go that extra little step. And Jesus was like, oh, wow. That's just, oh, how that moves the heart of God. Jesus is all about inviting us. Read the word of God. Come and see. Come and dine. Come and drink. Come all ye that labor. I mean, the whole Bible is an invitation. Your Bible is an invitation. God is inviting you to come. He's inviting you to come and drink. He's inviting you to come and dine. He's inviting you to come and rest. He's inviting you to come and experience his glory. What an invitation. What an invitation. And desperation brings total dependence. Peter saw the wind and waves. What happened? He began to sink. How many times have we determined in our hearts we're going to the next level? How many Sundays have we walked out of church and said, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be this. That word challenged me today. How many times have we seen God move around these altars and everybody say, we've gone to a new place. We've gone to a new height. Things are going to, God, revival is coming. The glory is coming. And then not too long later, we begin to sink. We walked on water for a little while. Right? We walked on water for a little while. I've seen it. But then we begin to sink. You know why? We start looking at the wind and the waves. We start looking at the natural. We start worrying about what people think. Well, what are people going to say about me? I'm jumping up and down in front of the church, or I got laid out in the spirit, or I'm speaking in tongues. What are people going to say? You start looking at the wind and the waves, and you start looking at what I look like in the natural. Folks, who cares about what you look like in the natural? It's what you look like in the kingdom of God that really matters. What you look like to Jesus, what you look like to God, that's what matters. We worry so much about these kinds of things, and we walk on the water for a little while, but then we start worrying about it. We need to learn to live in a place where we are totally dependent on God. I was at a clergy conference in Atlanta years ago. You remember KC? Some of us, others, have you been there? 40-something thousand clergy gathered in that Coliseum. And I'm going to tell you something. You haven't lived until you heard 40-something thousand ministers singing on Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. My hair was standing up. I mean, it was amazing. And Jack Hayford got up and told a story. And it changed my life. In fact, I told him later when we were in Israel, I reminded him of that. And I told him that story changed my life. The story that he told was, back in the 70s, he was invited to go to a church in England to speak. And it was a charismatic church. And he said, I got to the church and they started their worship. And he said, they started singing, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Y'all remember that song? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you. And I forgot it. Anyway. So he said they started singing that song and they started dancing. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And he said, I stood there and watched that. And he comes back to California, and he's in his office, and they're having a staff meeting. And they said, Pastor Jack, how did the meeting go in England? He said, oh. He said, let me tell you. He said, they were singing these new little worship courses, and they were dancing. And his staff said, what do you mean they were dancing? In church? He said, yeah, they were doing a little dance. And they said, well, how did it go? What kind of dance? And he said, well, they were doing kind of like this, you know. And he did a demonstration. Some weeks later, he was in a service sitting on the platform where he had been invited to speak, and the worship was going on, and it was powerful. And Jack Hayford said, sitting there in that chair while the worship was going on, God spoke to my heart and said, Jack, I want you to dance. Jack, I want you to get out of the boat. Jack, I want you to get out of what you're used to. I want you to get out of what's normal. I want you to get out of what's natural. I want you to take a step out on the water. I want you to dance. And Jack Hayford said, I laughed and I said to God, I don't know any dances. And the Lord said, you know one. He said, because I saw you do it in your office. And Jack Hayford said, so I stood up and I started dancing. And you know what really got me? We were in that Coliseum with 40-something thousand pastors. He told that story. He said, I stood up and danced. And then he looked at all those pastors. And he said, men, I'm fixing to do a dance. And Darrell, he started dancing on that platform. All by himself. And men all over that Coliseum started weeping. And they were broken because of the act of humility and the act of obedience. It moved us to our core. Because one man was willing to get out of a boat and do something extraordinary for God. To walk on the water. That's what God is calling us to do. The Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk on water. I can live in a place where I am totally dependent on God. When David ran down into that valley with a sling stone, folks, he was walking on water. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown into that furnace, they were walking on water. When Moses raised that staff in front of the Red Sea, he was walking on water. When Joshua walked around the walls of Jericho, he was walking on water. The men and women of God that have said, I will not stay, but I am going to walk into a place with God. He says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Psalm 73 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but my God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. The Lord is my rock. rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my stronghold in whom I take refuge. He is my shield. He is the glory of my salvation, and he is my high tower. Oh, let's praise the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to extend to you an invitation. And that's how we're going to close this service. You've been invited into the supernatural. Hallelujah. And if you're willing to take that first step out of the boat, if you're willing to take that first step, I want you to leave your seat and come stand here at the front and say, Glenn, I'd be willing to go where God calls me to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus. Hold on. I don't know exactly where we're going. God's been dealing with me so much lately about a new place. God's ready to take us to a new place. But we got to be willing. He didn't drag Peter out of that boat. He didn't make Peter go. He didn't force anything. Peter stepped out on his own. Peter decided on his own, I'm leaving everything I know because I want that right there. I want to know that kind of glory. I want to know that kind of power. And he stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of the boat. In a practical sense, it may mean when there's an invitation to prayer on a Sunday night, when you normally wouldn't come, you would come. You know what? I'm going to prayer tonight. I'm going to this, or I'm going to do that because God's calling you out of that recliner. Amen? God's calling you out of that easy place. Hallelujah. God's been dealing with me about opening our church up in the evenings. And I don't have all the particulars of it yet. But God is calling this church to prayer. And having it open, and having it where people can just come and seek the face of God. And he has assured me that if you will begin to do that, he will show up. Those meetings, Kay, we're having in September need to be bathed in prayer. We've got a mighty conference coming in September. This place is going to be packed with people, and we need to start bathing it in prayer because signs and wonders are going to come. I said signs and wonders are going to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time this church stepped out of the boat. We've been comfortable, and we've got a nice boat, but it's time we stepped out of it and walked on water. Be careful of the wind and waves, because they'll get you every time. They will. They will. It's real easy when you're in a... I'm going to just tell you, this is a great response. It's easy in a service like this to, hey, amen. But I'm going to tell you, sometime this week, y'all are going to see the wind and waves. You're going to look around and see the wind and waves, and you're going to start to sink a little. And that's when you want to crawl back in the boat. But remember, Jesus is there to grab you and hold you. Amen? Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you desperate? You got to get desperate, folks. You got to get desperate. Hallelujah. I want something more. I want something more. Father, in the name of Jesus. Waves of glory sweep over this building right now. God, come in all your power and all your might and all your glory and touch us in this place. Lord, we have stepped forward saying we're ready. We don't know everything it involves. Lord, we don't know. We're just like Peter. We don't have a clue. When Peter said, Lord, I will die for you, he was eager and excited and caught up in the moment, but he didn't have a clue. Lord, I understand we don't see and know everything, but God, you do. And I trust you. So we give ourselves to you. We step out of our boat and we come and we give ourselves to you today, wanting to step into the supernatural, into the glory. I pray, God, for new baptisms of the Holy Spirit. I pray for a renewal of the Holy Ghost in the lives of people. I pray that the gifts of the Spirit will start to rise up inside of your people in the name of Jesus. I call out those gifts. I call out those anointings right now in the name of Jesus. I call for them to be released in Jesus' name. I call for an upper room experience on your church and on your people right now. I pray that the wind of the Holy Ghost will blow through this place, Lord. And the fire of God will fall and touch your people right now in Jesus' mighty name. And release, Lord, what you've put inside your church. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We pray. God, I want something more. I want something more. Hallelujah. Put an arm around somebody right there by you and say, I want something more. I want something more. Hallelujah. 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 Can we make this journey together? Can we do this? Church, we can do this. We can do it together. Hold each other up. Amen? I tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you get here next Sunday, you be ready. Let's blow the lid off this place. Amen? Let's have some radical worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to be more God aware this week than you normally are. Every day, just keep that, stay out there on that water. Keep that edge. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody right now, you're hurting. You have a pain in your body that something's bothering you. And I want to pray for you. Who right now, there's something, you got something going on. You need a touch in your body. Need a touch. Barbara, just come right here in the front. Let us pray for you. You came to church not feeling good today. Hallelujah. You didn't. The Lord's saying this, Stephen, you? The Lord's just saying there's people here, they don't feel good. They're hurting. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Just you came not feeling good, but you came anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to honor you for stepping out of the boat. Could have been easy to stay home today. Amen. Especially with the rain. If you got rain and you add to that, you don't feel good. Huh? Amen. That's easy. That's easy. But they came. Amen. Now, those of you that are around them, just put your hand, just reach out. Just reach out and touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, you called for them to come. I didn't. Lord, you see them and their needs. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just pray for your touch right now in the name of Jesus. Father, God, for healing to flow through their body right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 I pray for healing right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You're dismissed. Have some good fellowship. If we can do anything for you, let us know. We love you. Amen.